France, you are welcome to come and share as much time as you have left.
Okay. Try to keep it short.
No, you don't have to keep it short.
Yeah.
That's not what we're about. We're not about keeping it short.
I want to thank everybody for giving me such a hard act to follow. I would love to back down with this.
I won't. So much that has been said just, you know, made me think of what I could add after everybody said their pretty things. I've thought many times about looking into the Solomon's Temple and, you know, never had gotten very far, and something that went on several weeks ago made me decide to go ahead and do that. And I got not stuck, but interested in the seventh verse of the sixth chapter of 1 Kings. Jumping ahead a little bit, but I feel like it's a good foundation. Anyway, that verse says, it just tells that Solomon decides to build the temple to the Lord and in what year, and gives some dimensions first. And then in the seventh verse it says, "And the house, when it was in building, was built of stone, made ready before it was brought thither, so that there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in the house while it was in building." So I started looking into that and found right away that the word house, the word stone, come from the very same root. House is Beth, which is given a number, and then it goes back to 1129. Stone is Eben, through the meaning to build, or a stone. The house, I said Beth, and it said in its greatest application is to build, or especially a family, to build a family. The stone being Eben, through the meaning to build a stone. And then it goes back to a root. I accidentally fell upon the fact that the word son is Bane, or we call it Ben. John, we call it Ben, but it's Bane, a son as the builder of a family name. All these words, house, stone, and son, which is not in this, but the house and the stone are sons.
Where are you reading?
King, 1 Kings 6 and the verse 7. All these are derived from the word Bana, which is a primitive root. It means to build, literally or figuratively, begin to build, builder, obtain children, make, repair, or set up. To me it says, and the family, in that verse, instead of the house, it says, and the family, when it was in building, was built of sons. It's kind of the way I can see that. And the word made ready, directly out of the concordance, that Strong's Concordance, is Shimona. It is through the idea of plumpness. It is a cardinal number, 8. I was stunned. And then in our own for those of you who have a companion Bible, the word made ready has a little footnote that says made perfect. Mm-hmm. So, and the family, when it was in building, was built of sons made perfect. So far, that's what we've got out of this. So, The number eight is Shemona, from its root Shemain, to make fat, to superabound, one who abounds in strength. Of course, I thought of several scriptures. I'll read a couple just to kind of
keep the word they use for shaman.
Those are all connected. I mean, there's a whole list of words there that have that same root and sound. I read them all, but I don't remember whether it specifically said that or not. In Ephesians 3 and 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Exceedingly abundantly above all we can think or ask. When I was so hungry, we had gone back to the Church of God when discipleship fell apart, and I was praying and fasting a little, and you know, up at night squalling and coming home from church, laying on the bed crying, just didn't know. I just wanted God to confirm for me that we as a body, I was mindful of the church we were in, that we as a body, you know, were doing what he intended for us to be doing. God, are we right here? You know, give us some sign. It just seemed so... I counted it my lack, I guess, but anyway, it just seems so not what it should be, just not what it should be, knowing who Christ is. And the concept I had of Jesus at that time was, I will give myself a pat on the back, hi. But still, it was everybody's, you know, everybody that's a Christian and anything like practicing has an appreciation for Jesus, but I was still going, this just does not seem full. So I was just going through a thing. I was in my little house and came out my screen door, turned left and started down through the yard. And God, one of the two or three clearest words I've ever heard from God in my life, he said that I can do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. Within the year, Connie and Joni came back to the church, and I started hearing her teaching. So anyway, the abundance of that is reflected in this eight. Seven is the number of perfection, and eight is this satiation, that just a beautiful... fullness of it. And she said Windows 8, and I'm going, yes. We're moving into Windows 8. God has, well, hopefully it'll come through in what I share. Seven is spiritually complete. Eight, that which is super abundantly above. I don't know how to say it. I don't want to distract from the seven. But anyway, I'll read this one more scripture, and then I'll talk about the eight a little bit. Colossians 3, Galatians, Ephesians 3, and 12 through 14. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so do also. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. So those are the few that came to me. In the appendix, in the back of this companion Bible, it talks about synonymous words for perfect, and gives several. This particular perfectness that I just read is teleios, that which has reached its end. Okay. There's another one. I'll skip it. Eight is the first of a new series, and I said for some reason after keeping the Sabbath on the seventh, you go forth in your new day, the first day of your new week, with that rest and with that refreshing that comes from keeping the Sabbath, is the way I saw that.
Share this.
Mm-hmm.
Several years ago, they made a bumper sticker that said, and on the eighth day, God made the balls.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you have it. That explains it all. That's good. Yeah. Okay. In that numerology book that Bullinger does, he typed several numbers together, and he had a section which compared things that were sevens in the scriptures with things that were eights. I didn't get into it much, but it was tremendous. It was just so tremendous. And one thing that it did say, by Johnny, it says, in the tabernacle of Moses there were seven pieces of furniture. In the temple that Solomon is building, there were eight pieces, and the thing that was added was the brazen sea, which to me just spoke of that superabundance of
what he was talking
exactly
about this morning.
Yeah, exactly.
And it had no dimensions.
No dimensions. I'd forgotten that. That's true. And oh, gosh, even more, what John said.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I thought of a type of the latter rain that, you know, we have the former rain that was beautiful, and we have Moses' tabernacle, which was absolutely such a beautiful type of Christ and our bodies as Christ. But to me, this eight speaks of that finer ether of hope and those finer ethers that we can't perceive as light in this narrow band, but they are indeed energetic frequencies as perceivable as the light. It's, they're just so much finer, and it takes the fineness of our refinement to begin to receive those.
Scriptures also say that his understanding brings light, or you can reverse it, his light brings understanding. So when John was speaking today, he was saying light, and I was hearing understanding.
That's pretty. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I wanted to say energy. I wanted to say a finer energy is what I wanted to say. Okay, the Feast of the Tabernacles lasted 8 days. The babies were circumcised on the eighth day. The Holy of Holies in both the tabernacle and the temple were a cubic. Eight is the first cube. The first what? Cubic measure, John?
Two cube,
yeah. And it's No.
It's two cubes. I've been studying that word Rubik in the Hebrew, though. That's
yeah. In Ezekiel, in the millennial tabernacle, there were eight steps in entering into the court on three sides of the tabernacle. There were seven on one side and eight on three sides, if I'm reading that right. That's difficult reading, and I just had to go kind of glean what a little bit I did. Anyway, there are eight steps into that millennial tabernacle. I talked about the Holy of Holies being foursquare, cubed, and it says, I mean, my thought was, no, I read this somewhere, I won't try not to take credit, something of transcendent perfection where the length and the breadth and the height are equal is over and above what either a length or a breadth or a height or only two of those could be. It's just such a fullness. In the temple that we see in Revelations, the new Jerusalem that came down from heaven, it was squared also, but it was 12,000 furlongs big, which speaks of us, of the 12, the perfection of those 12 tribes in work. That furlong means, well, I'll say as quick as I can. I looked up furlong and it took me back, and it had to be God that I found this because I'd made some little footnote on one of these numbers that led me back to a connection which defines substance, the very substance that's in Hebrew 1 where it says faith is substance. Karen named that this morning. It means a setting under, support, an essence, assurance, confidence, and substance is available to us as we are built into that holy house. In the Greek, 888 is the number of the name of Jesus. And others of his names are the multiples of 8. Christ, Lord, our Lord, Savior, Emmanuel, Messiah, and Son are all multiples of 8. I was surprised.
Yes,
I was really surprised to hear that. Okay. So, now I've got to find that piece. Having said that, and the family, when it was in building, was built of sons, perfected superabundantly above all we can think or ask. Before it was brought thither. That before it was brought is used that one time. That whole phrase is defined by one number in the concordance. It's called Maka. I don't know how to say it. But it means in the sense of projecting a missile, spear, or arrow, also a quarry, whence stones are, as it were, ejected. And then it, even in the defining of it, it says it means before it was brought. The first place my... Well, let me finish with the rest of that. It goes back to a root, naka, from maka, which means to pull up, especially the tent pins, start on a journey, cause to blow, bring, get, or make to go forth, onward, march, set aside, set forward. I really know there's a lot. It just speaks of our journey. I'll just summarize that whole big thing. Cheat and say this before it was brought is God's intent for our journey. But the word in the sense of projecting is where I got stuck. I'm going to read some definitions of projecting. When I hear that word, I always think of my psychology in school, and some little things that have happened since then that they talk about how we project what we feel, we project off on someone else, and sometimes we cannot, we cannot realize that we have feelings, negative or positive, that we are saying, look what she showed. We're busy projecting who we really are out on another so we do not have to deal with us in ourselves. And I guess it's the idea of it is mostly negative, except when she gave the word to Suzanne and she said, you were just, you know, and I'm going, projectile. Yeah, she was projectile. And, you know.
Vomiting.
Well, I didn't want to use vomiting because it's not. Well, it is what you have taken
it was
in.
Pure coming out.
Absolutely. We know that. We know that I'm meaning that. But anyway, that's what I thought. This is out of whatever little dictionary I have, but I want to say these things so you'll understand the picture I got in my mind when I read that. In the sense of projecting. Presentation of an image on a surface. Presentation of an image on a surface. What I saw there was God calling those stones that were to be used in the tabernacle, those stones which are sons, and projecting his very image onto their surface by the tremendous dealings.
If you think of a slide projector.
Yes, it did.
Just put the image behind the lens of a projector and force it onto whatever you're shining it onto. That's exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. And it blows it up to such a super abundance, too.
Yeah. The projector. Make it larger, smaller,
yep.
Finer.
Mm-hmm.
Blurry.
Yeah.
That goes back to that word in firmament. The word firmament means to
pound it out.
Pound it.
Yes,
with
that's
your
good.
Passion and make it bigger and bigger, like John did this morning. He Sue spews it out, and John takes it and spreads it out.
It's beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. He does, like a canvas.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
One little thing that I got online quickly to see if I could find the numeric value of tabernacle and temple, and I couldn't, but one little thing that I did find was, I forgot. Anyway, more on projection. Yeah, maybe it will. Presentation of an image on a surface. My thought was he is the express image, the exact copy or representation of God. That's in Hebrews 1:3. To forecast is one of the meetings. And I'm saying from before the foundation, God forecast.
Yes.
I know what it was. That I just read this little thing that said the tabernacle and the temple, well, the tabernacle first, was a restatement of God's creation.
Yes.
And I'm sure we've known that, but I just had forgotten it. Mental image viewed as an objective reality, God sending His Son, made in God's image, the unseen God, known by mental images within the heart and mind of man, becomes objective, visible, out there, substance in Christ.
And us.
Yeah, we need to always say that. It's true. God making a people who were not a people into a house or a family. Projected from before the foundation. Let me read this, Job 38:6. If somebody can quote it, just jump in and do. This is where the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge?" And then in verse 6 he says, I'll start with 5. "Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy?" That is us, and that is way, way back before anything was created. So
that's exactly what John showed us this morning.
It is. Say just a little bit about that. I mean, put in your picture of how.
The sea of people. He was looking at a sea.
Okay.
And awareness was being birthed. And everything Beverly said to every one of us was about a new awareness.
Yes.
And it's not just for us, but it's on everything we're around, like you're speaking of projecting. We're imposing that.
Amen.
That's good.
And emanation as we walk among men.
Yes.
And God doesn't let us really know the depth of it because the ego would take hold.
Yes, I can see that. Yeah. Wow. Okay. So, let me try to say that one more time, and then talk just 1 minute about the matter of no sound heard. And the family, when it was in building, was built of sons, made perfect before the foundation of the world, so that there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in the house while it was in building. Yes. Yeah. When someone referred to it, seeming, I guess Beverly said it, it seems like not much is happening. We can't really see all that God's doing, and Connie just said it too, but there's such a tremendous work being done in that holiest place of all, which is exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. So, no hammer, Makaba. I did a whole lot of work on these, took every letter and tried to see how hammer fit into each letter. It was good, but it was tedious. So, and I love this other part I just shared so much. That's what I wanted to do. Oh, goodness. But it means perforatrix, perforator, a piercing, a query, a hole. Its root word means figuratively to specify and to designate, which I loved. God takes his tools and he pings a little here and he pings a little there, specifically to carve out that part of him that you are. I just thought that was so pretty. But it's done outside that holy place. I don't know how to say that. I have a little picture that I can't describe.
It's that holy hell we get in.
Yeah, that's how hell is made holy. That's exactly it. But the hell is not, it does not, there's a place within that the vulture's eye has not seen and no corruption has been experienced. That's that peace of God deposited in each man that draws the stones to it.
Yes.
Because of the likeness, those suns out there long, and we just go through life. We go through our lives, life after life, or even some lives, one's plenty, seeking to find that thing. And some, by John's account, all heads are lifted in the end of the matter. So we won't even go to the place where we say some do and some don't.
Absolutely.
Yes.
He said that. In his teaching, he said that we come to a place where it just doesn't matter. You know, you're just taking your pulse and let her rip whatever's going on, but it's not affecting anymore.
Yes. Well,
and there were no empty seats.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, I love that. No teeth missing.
An empty seat means it was intended for someone to fill.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And there's no. Everyone who's supposed to be there is there.
He filleth all in all. Yes.
That's good.
Every knee, every tongue.
All right, that's the hammer. The perforatrix, one little thing. It talks about the piercing and everything, but the picture I got with that word, it's not like a chisel and a hammer. It's like the hammer is the actual tool that does the fine tuning. You know, a hammer can seem so brutal, kind of a brute force, but this is a perfection perforated just along the exact cleavages that stone is supposed to take. That's the way crystal does. It cleaves along a specific plane according to its crystalline configuration. I'm sorry about that. The axe.
Exactly what went on in the holy place. When they worked with the gold, everything was done by little bitty taps. You didn't.
Yes, you've said that. Exactly, Connie. Well, that's good.
Little teeny taps.
Yep. That's good.
And you can't form gold without warming it up.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Get me warm first or you're done.
Well, if you don't warm it up, it's brittle and you might break it.
Yeah, well, clay's that way too. You know, you have to, your hands form it and shape it. The axe is garzine. The only thing I want to say about it is that there's a zane in it. And that zane means sword. Concerning the sword, the little Kabbalah book says that indeed we wield that sword to defend that place in us that is holy. We do not allow activity. We do not allow winds of doctrine or any such thing to rob that place. And we defend it to the death with that beautiful sword of God's intent. So that to me was the axe, and it is laid to the root. Tool is something prepared. That prepared was a real pretty word. I've left it in my other notes. But it was just a maybe. Something designed to do a very specific work. Let me see what this Proverbs 16 is. Maybe it'll help me explain Psalms Proverbs. Proverbs 16:1. I'm almost through here. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. The preparations here in Proverbs means arrangements or plans. Okay, and it just says it breaks down to mean roughly, to man pertain the plans of his heart, but from Jehovah comes the final decree. So that's the tool of iron, and iron is just a piercing and cutting thing. That's all I wrote down about it that was significant to me. When I did my little quick look online, I found this, and it stirred me. I'll read it to you. It's Ezekiel 43:10-12, talking about that millennial tabernacle or temple. And it says, Son of man, describe the temple to the house of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities. And this is when there was no temple standing. Ezekiel was instructed to remind the people to think upon it. You don't have the visual, but the truths of it written in your Torah,
yes,
will build it in you. Will build it in you. Son of man, describe the temple to the house of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure the pattern. And if they are ashamed of all that they have done, make known to them the design of the temple and its arrangement, its exits and its entrances, its entire design, and all its ordinances, all its forms, all its laws. Write it down in their sight so that they may keep its whole design and all its ordinances and perform them. This is the law of the temple. The whole area surrounding the mountaintop is most holy. Behold, this is the law of the temple. And again, when I was reading it, I saw John's vision. The people don't have an example. They've forgotten their pattern and who they're come from, and they go, oh yeah, this is who man is. And you know, the thing that was so profound to me, just for me personally at that moment, is how privileged we are to know God, how apparent it is if we just give it one moment's pause, how great we are in the earth if we just don't forget. I'm going to read this. This is not any longer than the one I just read. This is from the Midrash Tankuma, which is just a restatement of this scripture, but it said some things that I appreciated. Do you know what the Midrash is? Does anybody?
It's kind of like a commentary from the Jewish perspective on earlier writings.
Okay. All right, great.
That's my understanding.
All right. Well, this is one that somebody got. Ezekiel said to the Holy One, blessed be He, Master of the world, we are now in exile, and you tell me to go and inform the Jewish people about the plan of the temple? Write it before their eyes, and they will guard it all. They will guard all its forms and all its laws and do them. How can they do them? Leave them until they go out of exile, and then I will tell them. The Holy One, blessed be He, said to Ezekiel, just because my children are in exile, does that, meaning the building of my house should be halted. Studying the plan of the temple in the Torah is as great as actually building it. Go and tell them to make it their business to study the form of the temple as explained in the Torah. As their reward for this study, I will give them credit as if they are actually building the temple. Yeah, so I thought that was sweet. Yeah. Okay, I'm done. You want me to have somebody pray, or you want to talk?
I don't know.